I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence, and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through your living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been preaching through the book of Acts, and I planned to preach on Acts 15 today, but this morning I woke up and the Lord had another idea. I was just walking through the sermon that I had already written, and as I worked on the introduction, I began to notice, wait, this is different. This is a different message, and I kept trying to shelve it. And the Lord said, nope, you're preaching a different sermon today.
Lucky you.
So Acts 15 tied in very well with the new sermon on God's upside-down kingdom, but I'm not going to discuss that in depth here. We just discussed that in depth during Adult Discipleship Hour, which we recorded. And if the recording takes in Zoom, we'll be able to include that in our email. So if you want to learn more about the Acts 15 passage, the Jerusalem Council, and how it applies, you can tune into that. Now to the sermon the Lord wants you to hear today. And I'm going to begin with the question. Why are you here? And that's an honest question. Why are you here? So, how many of you thought yesterday, this is a rhetorical question, how many of you thought yesterday, I can't wait to go to church tomorrow? All right, I'm seeing a couple hands. It was still rhetorical. What word would you use to describe your mindset this morning as you prepared to get here? Maybe excited, maybe determined, maybe stressed. How about obligated? Okay, how about joyful? How about frustrated? Grateful? How about resentful? So, we go through a lot of emotion, a lot of thought, but the question is the one I want you to hear and I want you to think about. Why are you here today? Does it really matter that you're here today? Why not be somewhere else? Can I do this alone with my Bible? Can I be doing it some other way? Couldn't I have gone to another church? Why are you here? Today is Christ the King Sunday. As I mentioned, the final Sunday of the liturgical year. Today, the scriptures focus on Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, except for what was going to be the sermon passage, which was Acts 15. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. 600 years before Jesus' incarnation, Jeremiah declared God's intentions. We read it today. Through Jeremiah, God proclaimed his plan in a future time. Let's read this together. It's going to be on a slide. Is that big enough for you to read? Let's read this together. The Lord will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. 600 years before Jesus was born, God declared his intention. And this is the thread that runs through Scripture from creation to new creation, from Genesis to Revelation. God's intention to provide salvation for his people. A blessing for his chosen Jewish people and a blessing unto the nations to include you and me. Jeremiah declared, God will raise up a righteous branch. Well, he didn't declare God will. God spoke and said, I will. So this isn't Jeremiah's interpretation. This is God's word. I will bring forth a righteous branch. And the righteous descendant of King David will be called by this name. Depending on how you read Hebrew, Jehovah Tzedek, or if you're Jewish, you don't say the Lord's name, so you say Adonai. Adonai Tzedek. Say that with me. Adonai Tzedek. 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 That's righteousness. Adonai Tzedek, the Lord is our righteousness. Now that's a profound name. It's important to get the meaning. Because God had given his people through Moses instructions for worship and for living. The Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words. Then all the other instructions for life and for worship that followed during the 40-day meeting between Moses and God. The holiness of God was proclaimed in that meeting, along with the sinfulness of mankind. Sin renders every man and woman unrighteous. Every one of you, unrighteous, therefore separated from God. Blood was to be shed through sacrifice to atone for the sin, to atone for, to cleanse the unrighteousness, restoring relationship with God, restoring right relationship, righteousness, being justified by that blood. So God's Torah, God's law, through Moses declared, live this way and you will maintain righteousness before God. You will be righteous. Jeremiah didn't declare it. God declared it. God declares through the prophet Jeremiah something. Is it different? Or is it just the future? Does it conflict or is it a fulfillment of? I say it's a fulfillment of. God through Jeremiah declares that God does not promise righteousness through proper worship and through proper sacrifice. It's not following the law properly as it had been or as they were doing. Jeremiah's in the middle of it. He's saying in this future day, there will be a righteous branch that I, God, will raise up, and his name will be the Lord is our righteousness. Do you get that? That righteous branch is the righteousness. There's no more having to earn. This messianic prophecy from Jeremiah serves to turn upside down the requirements of the Jewish law. Not to declare them null and void, because all scripture is God-breathed and useful. But now it's looked at in a different way. The righteous branch will not demand righteousness. He is our, God's people's, righteousness. He will be righteousness for all. So who is that righteous branch? Jesus. Try that one more time. Who is that righteous branch? We need to know that. The upside-down nature of God's kingdom is what befuddled Jesus' disciples. They expected him to be a conquering king of their earthly enemies. Look at this passage. In his days, the righteous branch, Judah will be saved. Israel will dwell securely. Was that happening when Jesus was on the earth? So did God speak it incorrectly through Jeremiah, or maybe Jeremiah messed up the... Or could God be talking about the future and then the future? The righteous branch, and then the righteous branch will come again. Right? Jesus' disciples were befuddled too. They expected him to conquer their earthly enemies, but instead, Jesus was the conquering king of sin. Jesus conquered the consequences of sin, giving all who believed in him forgiveness. Giving all who would put their faith in him restoration of right relationship with God. Now, don't miss this. Jesus, as the conquering king who conquers sin, he is the gift of righteousness to all who believe. He is our righteousness. I want to be careful and not say your righteousness, because this was a communal proclamation by God through Jeremiah. His name is God is our righteousness. Not good with English. Is that the genitive plural? I know it's a plural, but it's the whole group plural, whatever that is in English speak. It was our, it wasn't your, it was our as God's people. He is the conquering king, therefore, and the first to acknowledge Jesus as king. They were the crowds along the road as Jesus approached Jerusalem to be crucified. He knew that, the disciples didn't. As he rode on that donkey, they proclaimed, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." Then, "Hosanna in the highest." We know that. "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." "Here is the king." They acknowledged him as king. "Hosanna in the highest." Then what'd they do a few days later? Crucify him. They didn't understand that king. Those same crowds shouted, "Crucify him." And that fulfilled God's plan. Again, upside down kingdom. Jesus had to die to be the conquering king, named Adonai Tzedek. The Lord is our righteousness. He had to die. And then in the midst of that fulfillment, one acknowledges Jesus as king. He's hanging on the cross. And beside him, the other thief identified and recognize Jesus as king. This is a man who woke up that morning. Talk about not having hope. He knew he was going to die. And he knew he was rightly going to die because of his sin, because of he broke the law, because of his theft, whatever he did. He saw it was justified. No hope. And yet, how does day end? The words God speaks to every one of us when we believe. "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The thief, who dying beside him, said, "Please remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. You are the king when you're there." The upside-down kingdom of God promises a Messiah who will save the people from their sins. Remember, that was what the angel told Joseph before Jesus was born. "He will be named Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus is Adonai Tzedek. The Lord is our righteousness. And that is why I am here. And why were you here? Well, why am I here? Well, you could have said, "We pay you to be here, Bill." That's only partially correct. You do pay me to be here. But I wouldn't be here if you were asking me to proclaim anything else. I'm here because this is what I love to do. I'm here because this is what I, as a follower of Jesus, am called to do. And I'm here because y'all are called to the same thing. And I get to tell you that. Doesn't matter if you're in fifth grade or eighth grade or 10 days left. I didn't have to say old because who knows who has 10 days left. So I thought I'd go with that. That's why I'm here. Jesus, God the Son, was born in our flesh and blood to be our conquering king. Our righteousness, so he's my righteousness, that I would not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the good news for all who are separated from God. Are there still people out there separated from God? Do you know some of them? And you probably don't know who might and who might not be, because some may live really well, be very nice, and still be lost. That's why I'm here. to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ for all who believe, Jews and Gentiles, Israel and the nations. Not just to proclaim the good news, but take it a step further, but also to give instruction. Your church is here for you to gather, hear the good news, but then also to receive instruction as to right belief, right doctrine, right theology, because there's a whole lot out there that contradicts what we would say is the true message of salvation, that subverts what we would say God's word proclaims. Now, that's what it used to mean. Acts 15 is a great example of that. As the Gentiles came into the church, what are we to do with them? And there were some answers given. How are we to do this? But before that, for the disciples in Acts, there was leadership appointed in the early church. There was discipleship happening. They were growing in faith. We have to know our faith if we're going to stand for the gospel. So that's why we get together. It's not just for a good show. Because if you've been around a while, I'm not always a good show. It's not about the show. It's about the King. Today is Christ the King Sunday. He's the King, and he tells us to gather together and worship him. That's enough. And that should be an honor. When the King invites you to come to the palace, you don't say, but I've got laundry to do. You put on whatever you got and you go. I and the faithful church want you to know the truth. The truth that will and can set you free. That will continue to set you free because you ain't done. I don't care how long you've been walking with Jesus. And it will set you free so that then you can share the good news with others. Because as I am called, you are called. So why are you here? The right answer is to worship the King. To hear the truth of God's plan for salvation from creation to new creation. So that you are able to proclaim the truth to others who are lost. Who are without true hope. Who may be waking up like the thief on the cross. I've got no hope. I may as well end it. And you may not even know that they're thinking that. But by a kind word, by loving your neighbor, it can change their destiny. That they might receive the good news of righteousness in Jesus Christ. In effect, you're here for one of two reasons, actually. The first is to learn about the King because you don't know the King. And if that reflects you, or if today you're thinking, I want to learn more. What would I like to do for you? What do I say? Coffee. There you go. Let's have a cup of coffee. Because it's too important to miss that. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. There is no new life apart from Jesus Christ. So you're either here to learn about the King or to be equipped for your role in the kingdom. To be equipped so that you go out and do the work. I'm sorry if you just came for, you know, a show and some snacks. There's work to do. And it's the best work we can be about, proclaiming the good news in Jesus Christ. You are to share him with your friends, your neighbors. This is Thanksgiving when we all gather. You don't know who may be hurting or who may have lost faith. Your coworkers, your vendors. That's an interesting word, Bill. What do you mean, my vendors? A vendor is someone you buy something from. Pretty sure you're all going to buy something pretty soon. Keep your eyes open. Listen to the Holy Spirit as you're buying stuff. Love your neighbors. Do as the disciples did. Invite others for coffee or lunch and listen to their stories. We don't have the right to proclaim Jesus to folks that we barely know. We can do that. But are they likely to receive it? Good point. How well does it work when you want to change someone's political views that you don't know very well? How's that go? This is a step up from that. Faith and religion and salvation, that's a step up. Build relationships, have coffee, listen to their stories, and then they'll ask you your story. And then as the disciples did in Acts, and as the church exploded because of it, they told their stories. Y'all have stories. Better stories than mine. Dumber stories or slower stories or embarrassing stories. But we all have those stories, and God will speak through our lives, through our sin and through our redemption to bring salvation to the lost. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Do as the disciples did. Ask yourself, why am I doing this daily? And then remind yourself why. Shine on your neighbors and those around you and your brothers and sisters in Christ who are going to be hurting the light that is Christ in you. Proclaim in word and deed that Jesus is Lord in your schools, in your workplaces, so that the hopeless will find hope. The lost will be found, and that they will receive his righteousness. Jesus Christ, Adonai Tzedek, the Lord is our righteousness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.